Bibles to Matthew chapter 16. Stand if you're able out of respect for the Word of God. And take your good old King James Version Bible. Amen. I heard a preacher say it's not a version. It's because a version implies that it's someone else's take on it. It's a Bible, meaning that it's the Word of God. Matthew chapter 16, if you could, please. And I'm going to ask you, even though some of us have our faces behind masks, let's go ahead and read verses 17 through 19 out loud all together, if we shall, once we arrive there. Are we all there yet, folks? Yeah. Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 16, verses 17 through 19. 1, 2, with me, 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Title of my message today, beloved, is Keeper of the Keys. I think we independent Baptists, and rightly so, often focus on this passage as Jesus being the rock of the church. Our Catholic friends need to understand Peter's not the rock. Because a couple verses later, Jesus turns his back on him and says, Get thee behind me, Satan. I don't think you want Satan to be the rock upon your church. But I want to focus on another title that our Lord Jesus is, the Keeper of the Keys. Father, I thank you for the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. Thank you that they are here in an area that is really impossible. Lord, we are in an impossible area. They in the San Jose Bay Area, we up here in the Oakland Bay Area. We need an anointing of God, Lord, but you won't give that anointing unless we're surrendered. Until we recognize you for who you really are, the Keeper of the Keys. Lord, I don't ask for the fire to fall. I just ask that you'd show yourself, even as Elijah prayed. Lord, I pray that you would show yourself to us. Not that you haven't already, but because it is a tendency of our hearts to be hardened, is it a tendency of our eyes to be blinded, and it is our tendency, Lord God, that the manna which once tasted like wafers made with fresh honey would taste bitter like fresh oil. Lord, I pray that you stir up our hearts, because the problem is not with the manna, it's with us. And I pray that you do whatever is necessary to bring us back in line with who you are and where you are at, Lord. Thank you for your mercies. May this dear church, may this congregation be ministered unto by your precious Holy Spirit and by the precious Word of God, the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. This we ask in the name of the Keeper of the Keys. Amen. You may be seated. We go to that first slide below. From the first locks and keys discovered in Nineveh from 6,000 years ago to computer passwords, we've had biometric fingerprint and face recognition on our phones these days. There's an incredible variety of securities that we have. You know, people are finding out the most incredible ways to break into people's bank accounts, into people's identities. It's incredible. I mean, you may be at the ATM or at, you know, your local 7-Eleven, and you may slip your card into there, and they've got those secret chip readers that will steal your information. And they're putting in all kinds of two-factor authentication to try to protect us. Keys are just that important. But the overall purpose of a key, whether it's something like the old rusty-looking nasty things from Nineveh or Egypt, wherever that's from, to the fancy, what is that? I think it's Schlage or whichever company makes those, okay? The purpose of a key is to give access to something that was previously locked up, inaccessible, protected, restricted, except to its key holder. And our Lord Jesus here is giving Peter and eventually the rest of the church access to precious truths and resources that were previously unobtainable. Now, it's my hope here for the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church that we will be in constant communication with our Keeper of the Keys. Because I believe God placed this church here at such a time like this to accomplish what you should for Jesus Christ's sake. I believe that with all my heart. The San Jose Bay Area is too big for this church to close up. And you know, it's only by the grace of God that the health department and neither of your neighbors have ratted you out, because they I'm on live stream right now, so hopefully you know that that's not going to happen, okay? But it's only by the grace of God that we at Heritage, we didn't get ratted out by the health department or anything like that. Why? Because the work here is too important to shut down, and only the keeper of the keys can keep it unlocked so that souls can get saved, Christians will repent and live for God, and that churches can be started and preachers be trained up from this congregation right here. Only the keeper of the keys can give you that. In an area of recession, because I don't know how badly recessions affected you folks. I mean, I went soul winning here two years ago when I preached on a Wednesday night. I was impressed. They have $1.1 million homes. It's big enough to be a palace. I'm not sure how the recession has affected people here. But I do know that there's been a spiritual downtime for a lot of people. COVID-19 made bad people worse, it made good people better, and it made apathetic people sleepier. In a time when it looks like there's no hope and no opportunity for Christian growth in the Morgan Hill, Gilroy, Hollister area, I want to ask you something, beloved. Who's your keeper of the keys? I'm getting ahead of myself here, but Vance Havner was an old Southern Baptist preacher back when, you know, they actually used to believe something, not like the J.D. Greer mess that they are today. Vance Havner said, "Our Lord holds the keys to the doors of Christian service. You don't have to chase key men around if you know the keeper of the keys." Do you know your keeper of the keys? And how well do you know him? I mean, we're thinking, well, Brother Justin, you don't understand. We're restricted. We're so restricted. I mean, it's COVID-19. And then, you know, the race riots and SJW mobs burning down everything. And then the election riots. Now we're under captivity of that globalist leftist Joe Biden. I mean, Brother Justin, there's more locks in our Christianity than there is freedom. Might I remind you, beloved, that a sponge releases more water the more it's squeezed. And you all have the water of life. We're supposed to be sponges which give it out to other people. This is not in your notes, but 2 Corinthians chapter 3 or 4 says this: "We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency may be of the power of God and not of us." Broken vessels are the only way that God can give His treasure to an impoverished, starving world. And I want you to notice with me, beloved, that our keeper of the keys is still at work opening locks in the kingdom of heaven so that you and I can do the will of God. And more than that, the will of God can be done in your life. Number one, beloved, I want you to notice with me our opinion of the keeper of the keys. Our opinion of the keeper of the keys. Let's take a look at verses 13 through 15. When Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they say, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Whom say ye that I am? Now we need to understand the context when Jesus said this, beloved. When He said this, when He asked this question, He was asking it in the midst of a mountain full of idols and shrines that were dedicated to Pan, the Greek god of illicit sex, nature, and music. And prior to the Greek influence brought by Alexander the Great, the area has a spring where the Canaanites used to worship Baal Gad or Baal Hermon. If we could take a look at that photo there, gentlemen. Nobody worships Pan anymore that I could think of. But his legacy lives on in the neo-pagan and satanic movements where he represents that goes contrary to Christian values. We don't have Pan this day, but we do have pornography this day. We don't have Pan, but we do have wicked music this day. We don't have Pan anymore, but, you know, people still do worship the environment in this day and age. That's how Pan's legacy has lived on. And here, Jesus Christ is offering a challenge to Pan. Who is Jesus compared to everyone else? Who is Jesus compared to our favorite pet politician? Who is Jesus compared to the internet theologians? By the way, I don't like following internet theologians because I can't see their weaknesses. The reason why God gave you a pastor, Pastor Kyle Haynes, is so you could see everything about him and follow him as he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you can't trust an internet theologian 100%. They're not going to visit you when you're in the hospital with COVID or with cancer, either or. What does everyone else have to say of Jesus in a society where demonism is being forced on us? And when Jesus Christ is being erased in this day and age, who is he? At the end of the day, beloved, when we stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, it doesn't matter what people think of Christ. He's still God no matter what people think of him. He's still God no matter what kind of blasphemies come from the White House, the whorehouse, or your house, depending on which news media outlet that you're listening to. Jerry Nadler does not speak for the people of the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. This book does. Eric Swalwell does not speak for the people of the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. This book does, beloved. Okay? And the guy in Georgia who can't even get his amen right because he doesn't even know his Greek or his Hebrew, he doesn't speak for the people of the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. This book does. By the way, amen means it's true, it is so, beloved. That's the reason why we use it. Forget this gender nonsense difference. The reason why we say it is because of the fact that whatsoever God has opened to us in heaven, he's opening it here on earth for Jesus Christ's sake. Look at skeptics, critics, and blasphemers. They're going to come and go. But our God still stands. Nobody knows where King Ahab's buried, and he was one of the great idolatrous men. Rabshakeh, where is he? Rabshakeh was the Assyrian man who withstood King Hezekiah. Nobody knows where Rabshakeh's words are today. The only record we have of him is based upon what's written in 2 Kings. Perverted, insane men like Nero have tried to silence it. Hitler, Stalin, Mao, Pol Pot, the Kim family, Jesus Christ is still the keeper of the keys, even though they try to stamp out the book. Look at when you squeeze a sponge, more water can come out. I hope that during this time of trial and temptation, that more of the water of life and more of Jesus can be seen in the people of the Shadow Mountain Baptist Church. Who do you say that Christ is? Now, I recognize I'm in a fundamental Baptist church, but I don't take for granted there are people who still go through the motions after all these years, because it's the tendency of human beings to get locked up in boring routines. And there can be people who sit day after day, week after week, in a Baptist church, hear the gospel, utter a prayer, even get wet under a Baptist baptism, and yet still never have repented and called upon Jesus Christ as their Savior. You may have prayed a prayer, but did you repent and call upon Jesus Christ as your Savior for the forgiveness of your sins? And if you are a saved person, have you repented and surrendered unto Him to live for Him after that? The problem I see in a lot of Baptist churches is this. The only time we repent is when a big-name guest preacher comes through and preaches a fireball of a message, or when we're at some big Baptist conference and that's the only time we surrender. No, beloved, surrender needs to happen every single day of your life. Did you know that Christ's commandment, last commandment to the church, was not evangelize? That's in Matthew. Christ's last commandment to the churches, as we see in the book of Revelation, was to repent. Five out of the seven churches, Ephesus, Laodicea, Thyatira, Pergamos, Sardis, the commandment from Jesus Christ to these churches was not evangelized, even though that's one of the most important commandments. The commandment there was, repent, or else I will come upon you quickly and take away your candlestick. Who's your opinion? Because our opinion, if we don't actively pray every single day, Jesus, here it is, I surrender, it's all yours. If we're not praying that every single day, then we are the Lord of our own lives, and Jesus is backseat. God is not your co-pilot. He needs to be the entire plane. He needs to be the autopilot. What a blasphemy that people would say God is my co-pilot. Even more of a blasphemy, dog is my co-pilot, as if we worship some kind of canine, like most people do in the Bay Area. Now, if you have pets, go right ahead. But our God is so great that He needs to be not just the pilot and the co-pilot. He needs to be the entire plane. And the flight attendants as well, because our God is the kind of God who needs to do a change in our heart. Amen. Repent and surrender, beloved, is the only thing that must happen in our lives if we're going to see Jesus Christ who He really is. Did you know that sin blocks our understanding of who God is? The reason why the homosexual and the transgender crowd can never understand the Bible and they will never see the Bible to the way it is because they're so bitter against God. Sin is a hindrance for them. The reason why the abortion crowd is all messed up the way they are, because they're only thinking about, well, let me just sleep with whoever I want with no protection, and that's the only thing they think about. They're not thinking about, what about holiness? They're not thinking about their relationship with God. They're thinking about about what pleases them. But on a flip side, let me talk to the independent Baptists in this room. Sin prevents us from understanding Jesus Christ, who He really is. If Jesus Christ is just someone who helps me get a six-figure job. It helped me get a 4.0 GPA and take my five AP classes in high school and get that next promotion, then he's really no better than the Jesus of the abortion, the homosexual crowd, because he's still second place. Your opinion of the keeper of the keys really matters. And if there's an area in our lives where we're still hands off Jesus, and where our opinion of Jesus Christ is not in line with what the Bible says about him, then there has to be some repentance that's going to happen if you're going to see the keeper of the keys open up something for you, where God's going to use this church to make a difference in the lives of the people in this county. Number two, beloved, I want you to notice with me our presentation of the keys. Verses 16 through 19 says this, Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto them, Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now if we go to the next image here, beloved, we have to understand that when Jesus spoke of the gates of hell, he was speaking of the grotto of Pan right here in this image. During the Greek times or the Arabic times, it's called ancient Banias. You know, the Arabs, there's no letter P in the Arabic alphabet, so it was called Panias during the Greek time. Now it's called Banias. Okay, not too much difference. That was the gate of hell that Jesus was talking about, because it was full of idols dedicated to Pan, god of illicit sex, of music, and of nature. But that's just one gate, beloved. No one worships Pan anymore at Caesarea Philippi. But hell has gates all over the world now. I mean, I just passed by on the way down here. It looks like you guys have the same medical marijuana dispensary that we have in Alameda County. I mean, that's a gate of hell right there. I spoke with a young man this week, and unfortunately his heart was very hard. And, you know, our conversation ended like this, Justin, I don't want to listen to you anymore. He said, I smoke mushrooms because I want to see things beyond that. I said, you're not supposed to do that. Because when Jesus died upon the cross, he didn't take pain-killing drugs that would have stopped him from tasting the pain. Now, if you take an Advil every now and then, that's not wrong, okay? But what I'm talking about is that this man was using gateway drugs to try to open his mind and see things that were never meant to be seen by human beings. Very scary. By the way, this demonic activity business is not a fairy tale, beloved. It's so serious, Jesus said you have to fast and pray if you're going to fight it. I don't know what the demon oppression is like in this county, but I do know what it's like in Alameda County. And we're not, if Jesus said this kind cannot come out by prayer and fasting, how shall we beat the strongholds and the gates of hell in this county except some people are going to skip some meals in this church? Forget the dietary business. You don't need food to live. You only need it to survive. And there's a lot of people who are doing a lot of surviving when instead they should be living. I don't know what the demon oppression is like in this county. But I do know what it's like in Alameda County. And it's going to require some people who are going to dedicate some time, a few days here and there, maybe a week, maybe 2 weeks, and say, Lord, I'm giving it all up except water so that the Holy Spirit can have more of who I am. Maybe one of those gates of hell might be in your cell phone and the privacy of our YouTube subscriptions, depending on the filth we watch or the things that we see that affect us. Vance Havner, again, once joked that Peter was the most American of all the apostles because nearly everything he said in the Gospels was a mistake. You know, who touched me? You know, Master, the crowds are throwing you. You say, who touched you? You know, this shall not be unto thee, Lord. I shall never deny thee. You know, just Peter was a man, no filter, just said whatever was on his mind, you know. But this is one of the few times where Peter hit the nail right on the head. And I think Jesus Christ blessed him beyond measure in spite of the fact that Peter was a man full of flaws like the way that you and I are. Now, our Catholic friends incorrectly interpret this to say that Peter is the head of the church. But what it is, it's Christ allowing Peter to be chiefest among the apostles and first of the many pastors of the church at Jerusalem and setting a precedent for loosing and binding. Now, the keys to the kingdom of heaven is not a Joel Osteen gospel. Okay, it's not a Joyce Meyer gospel. It's not a Stephen Furtick gospel. If any of you are following the internet theologians, okay? It's not anything and everything our hearts desire, but as it pertains to the Bible promises. Now, I'm not a Pentecostal, okay? I do not believe in open revelation. And any revelation that we have must be tied directly to the Scriptures, using the Scriptures. But I believe that these keys are opportunities for God to work. Because I believe that God wants to work in your heart and in your life to unlock many lives that are here in this county and in this city. I think of Girolamo Savonarola, one of the forefathers of the Reformation. He prophesied that a Cyrus from the north would come and reform the church. Just 19 years after his death, God used Martin Luther to fulfill that prophecy. Savonarola had a key from the Lord that unlocked a flood that freed Europe from the bonds of the Catholic Church. Richard Connell, a missionary to India and Russia, met a 10-year-old boy and was thoroughly convinced that this 10-year-old boy, next image, would preach to vast multitudes at Rowlands Hill Chapel, the largest dissenting church in London. That 10-year-old boy was Charles Spurgeon, who did indeed preach at Rowland Hill's Chapel, and he preached at greater crowds at his own Metropolitan Tabernacle. Richard Connell used the key to unlock a door for multitudes to be saved, sanctified, and sent out through Spurgeon. I don't agree with Rick Warren's methods, and I don't agree with his watered-down ministry philosophy, but I still believe that God blessed him through the ministry of W.A. Criswell. One day, Rick Warren and a buddy skipped classes at California Baptist University to hear W.A. Criswell preach, and after the message, Criswell looked at Rick Warren with kind, loving eyes and said quite emphatically, "Young man, I feel led to lay hands on you and pray for you." He placed his hands on my head and prayed, "Father, I ask that you give this young preacher a double portion of your spirit. May the church he passes grow to twice the size of the Dallas church. Bless him greatly, O Lord." And I believe God gave W.A. Criswell a key simply because he asked for it. My dad's old office building used to be at 2950 Merced Street from the 80s and early 90s in the industrial side of San Leandro, much like how you guys are on the industrial business side of Morgan Hill. My dad eventually moved out of that, you know, office complex and moved to Emeryville and never really looked back. But when our church needed property really badly because we had nowhere to meet in those early 2000s, God led us right back to San Leandro, right next door at 2960 Merced Street. This is one of the keys that God put in my dad's hands to help plant our fledgling congregation. We've been there for the past 19 years. We've been there ever since. You see, beloved, in the kingdom of heaven, God has set every building and lock as he sees fit. But it's up to you and me to unlock those doors that exist already in accordance to his word. When Christ builds his church, he allows you and me to be temporary key holders. We're not supposed to keep those keys forever because there are some things that never change. Preaching the gospel, repentance, faith, being filled with the Spirit, fasting, church attendance. Okay, those things don't change. But how God moves in our hearts, beloved, that's where God changes it. Or opportunities to work in different people. We don't have to chase key men around if we know the keeper of the keys. People are scrambling around right now looking for important preachers. Well, if we just had a big name preacher in our midst, you know, that would solve our problems and bring revival. No, it wouldn't. It would not even solve half the problem. I'm all in favor of guest preachers, but there's a deeper need. Our problem as Baptists is that we have too many conferences and not enough revival. We have too much information and not enough repentance. Now, I'm all in favor of growing in the grace of God and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But when's the last time you ever heard of a hellfire, damnation, brimstone message on repentance? Well, you don't understand, Brother Justin. They don't want to hear that. Look at Isaiah was commanded in Isaiah chapter 6, preach until there's nobody left. There's still 50 people in here. There's still a county of nearly 2 million people just north of here. God has not depopulated the cities just yet. Well, Brother Justin, you understand we're in COVID-19 and we're going to get sick. Look at people go to Costco and Walmart all the time, you know. Okay. And you're telling me that if you keep your mask on at church, you're going to get sick, even though these seats are more than 6 feet apart. When we skip out on church, beloved, for whatever reason, we are reducing the opportunities for God to work in you and me. Story goes of a man who went up to heaven, and you probably heard the story before. He sees a great big mansion. And he says, "Well, whose is that? Whose mansion is that?" "Well, that's your cab driver, because he prayed all the time and won souls and tithe." And then the rich man drove by and they saw a little shack for him. And it's like, "What is this?" He said, "Sorry, we had to do the best of what you gave us." And I think that's the reason why a lot of people don't see God work like the way they should. They're expecting God to build a $2 million home with only $10,000 worth of materials. "He that soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, but he that soweth abundantly shall reap also abundantly." I think it's a problem that our churches have so much organization but so little power of God to give life to any of that organized detail. I'm all in favor of doing things decently in order, don't get me wrong. But when was the last time we had a service where people were so burdened after the invitation that we just stayed there and prayed? We didn't get up and talk with 50 people after. And I'm all in favor of fellowship, don't get me wrong, okay? But when was the last time that we had a church service here where we were so burdened and moved by the Word of God that we didn't want to speak with anybody? We just wanted to pray in silence for the next 15 minutes. Where there was great clearing in our hearts. We have so much fellowship and not enough fasting and repentance. Let me ask you something, beloved. Do you want God to give you some keys? "Oh, Brother Justin, I'm fine with the key I've got." No, there's still more that God wants to do with you. You're not dead yet and the rapture hasn't happened. There's still some keys that God wants to put in your hands to unlock for the people in this area. If we want Christ to start giving us some keys, we need to start with a worthy confession of who He is. Letting Him build His church His way. Vance Havner was paraphrasing Matthew 11:6 and Luke 7:23. "Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me," or in other words, "Blessed is the man who never gets upset by the way I run my business." I think a lot of people got offended by the way that COVID-19 upset our church operations. I mean, I got all upset and depressed. "Well, COVID-19 canceled all our missions trips and halted all our outreach and furloughing all of our gospel and outreach opportunities." Okay. But COVID-19 was the best thing that ever happened to Heritage Baptist Church and me and Jenny individually as persons. Because now we couldn't run from the problems at church at home by being at someone else's church on foreign soil. We had to sit in the imprisonment of our houses and think about all the sins we needed to confess, all the interpersonal conflicts we needed to resolve, and all the dreams that were so unrealistic that we needed to just bring them back to earth and say, "Lord, here's the dreams, burn it upon your altar and do whatever you want with them." It canceled the overburdened Heritage Baptist calendar of useless, non-spiritual, non-soul-winning, non-prayer-driven activities. And it forced us back to Acts 2 activities of preaching, prayer, discipleship classes, and soul-winning. That's what your church needs to be about. Okay? And I believe that's your pastor's heart about that. When your pastor took this congregation, I understand he didn't take it as an easy time, and he had to just go back to brass tacks. One soul at a time, win one soul at a time, disciple one soul at a time, preach one service at a time, fast for one day at a time. Look at, beloved, COVID-19 brought our churches back to the essentials. Now go ahead and play a ball game. I'm not against it. Keep your mask on, okay? But what's an essential in your church? What's an essential for you? I mean, there's a lot of things that churches and Christians do that are actually not in the plan of God. I mean, there's a lot of things that Christians do that are not attached to Christ's keys. I mean, I can think of some keys right now that Christ will give you and me if we will build His church His way. The key of repentance of sin. The key of resolving conflict. The key of having realistic dreams and expectations. I'm looking at the charts right now, and I don't claim to know everything about that, but I'm looking at the main causes of depression and suicide here in the West. You call it over, "Oh, it's a health issue." Okay, whatever. It's the three main causes are unrepentant sin, unresolved conflict, and unrealistic dreams and expectations. They can use different language. "Oh, it's a guilt complex." That's because they're still guilty over sins that they've never repented of. How can Christ forgive us of sins that we never ask forgiveness of? the key of fasting and prayer, of fasting and repentance. When you're 15,000 calories behind, you're going to be begging and asking God to help you get through the next day. I guarantee you about that. When you're about 20,000 calories behind, you're just begging God to, you know, stop the body aches. Fortunately, no headache, because you want to see God do something in your heart and the hearts of people around you. The key that is so hard to get because no one wants to do it. When we take care of business in God's house, and then only then, beloved, can God unlock what He will for our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 31 and 32 says this, "If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." 1 Peter 4:17 says this, "For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first begin at us, what shall be the end of them that obey not the gospel of God?" Look it, I understand that our world is very perverted. Rachel Levine thinks he's a woman. Okay, he's the health services for President Joe Biden. But that's not where judgment begins. Judgment begins when we settle scores by loving our enemies, praying for those who persecute us, doing good to those who hate us, and blessing those who curse us. Look at, God did not stop Job's trials until Job started praying for his friends. I think there's still a lot of Christians who want to believe in an all-forgiving God, but they themselves don't want to love their enemies. How can God forgive us if we won't love our enemies? The people who curse us and blaspheme that precious name by which we are called. The people who assume that every single Christian is a racist, homophobic bigot. By the way, we're not homophobic because we're not afraid of them. We speak to them to the truth and love face to face. If we ran from them and avoided discussion, then we would be afraid. By confessing sins we've not confessed for decades, by expecting God to fulfill His word and His will, not our will. That's where judgment needs to begin. It needs to begin in your heart and in this house. When Christ judges His church, that's when He can judge the world. But too many Christians don't want Christ coming along and telling them what keys they can and can't have. Many people, many Christians are trying to pick heaven's locks with their own man-made tools. He that hoppeth over the wall of the sheepfold is a thief and a robber. And I hope that nobody's a robber and a thief. Maybe you're not trying to split the church, I get that. But we're trying to do things our own ways. We don't want to be told what to do. We don't want Pastor Haynes coming back and telling us, well, he's afraid to tell us what we really need to hear because, hey, I'm going to lose a tithing family or two if he preaches against my pet sin. Don't put your pastor in an uncomfortable position like that. That's unethical, that's unbiblical, that is sinful. Not surprisingly, we shouldn't be surprised that when we try to pick heaven's locks with our own tools, Christ turns His back on you and me and calls Satan, and calls us Satan an adversary, because that's exactly what He did to Peter. "Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." I think there was a key that Jesus took away from Peter because Peter didn't want Jesus to be crucified. The keeper of the keys turned his back on Peter for one simple reason. Because Peter tried to interrupt the will of God. It's not the will of God for this church to do nothing. It's the will of God for you to share the gospel. Leave tracks somewhere with people. You can still pass tracks. I mean, look, we're going to have to handle our groceries and all our merchandise somewhere. We might as well throw a tract in every now and then with a great compassionate heart. Hey, let us know how we could pray for you. Hey, there's a church down the road here. Let us know how we could serve you and your family. Hey, there's a live stream service on here. We cannot expect our keeper of the keys to unlock everything for us when we confess Him as Christ as one in one moment and then get in the way of His work the next. All the mission trips of 2020 that I wanted to do, that was Justin Fong getting in the way of the will of God. Now, I wonder how many of us get in the way of the will of God because Christ wants to do something in your heart. He wants to bring a cleansing of sin. He wants you to take that next step of faith. He wants you to stay in this God-forsaken recession area, and yet we want to move out away from somewhere where Pastor Haynes can't pass for you. Prayers are not answered. Souls don't get saved or discipled. Our preaching, witness, Bible study, and personal time with God will slow to a halt when we get in the way of Christ. Look at, beloved, I believe that there are some keys that God wants to give you and me. But it all depends upon this. What's our opinion in our relationship with the keeper of the keys? Number three, beloved, I want you to consider with me the condition of permission of the keeper of the keys. Here's a very funny verse. I mean, everybody's just going to be turning on the inside. You know, the lifestyle evangelism or the friendship evangelism, people will think this verse is great, okay? Then charged his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus Christ. Well, just don't be so Jesus business with all, you know, your lost friends. It'll turn them off and, you know, it'll make them really uncomfortable. And we want our lost friends to be really comfortable even though they'll never hear the gospel. Okay. Now, granted, I don't believe any of you have that mentality. But why not tell the whole world that Jesus is the Christ, anointed in my sight? I thought, Brother Justin, as Fundamental Baptist, we believe in soul winning. I mean, that goes totally contrary to what everything we've preached at this church for the past 20 or 30 years. No, it doesn't. Letter A, beloved, Christ doesn't want us to be talking about him when we serve him for ulterior motives. You see, the apostles wanted a king to deliver them from Rome, but he came as a savior to give them a heavenly home. They wanted a king to free them from trouble. He came as a shepherd to calm them in the trouble. They wanted a king so they could reign with him. He came as a servant to serve them. They wanted a king to destroy their enemies. He came as a peacemaker to teach them to love their enemies, bless those who curse them, do good to those who hate them, pray for those who persecute and spitefully use them. They wanted a king to make Israel great again. He came as a sacrifice who would live again. Let me ask you something, beloved. Why do you serve Jesus Christ if you're serving him at all? Because let's be honest, we're pretty selfish people. All of us are. We normally don't do things unless we can get something out of it. Why are you at church this morning? Why do you listen to what the Bible says? What do you want out of it? Because our ulterior motives are going to get exposed. And it did certainly get exposed when COVID-19 hit. Now, I realize this is the cream of the crop. I mean, you're all here. I mean, most people are like, oh, COVID, you know, we can't even be within 6 miles of other people or else we're going to get, you know, the bat soup virus. Look it. We've seen that during this pandemic, people live for God only when it's convenient. I mean, church attendance all across the board tanked. But look it, people still went to Costco. They still went to Walmart. They went to their essentials. Look at, you can serve, you can live without, I mean, you only need food to survive. You don't need it to live. More people died in San Francisco by drug overdose than they did by COVID-19. I mean, 200 people died in San Francisco county itself by COVID-19. About 600 people died of drug overdose. And that's not including the people that jumped off the Golden Gate Bridge or threw themselves in the cars or shot themselves. And they tell me that church is not essential. And they tell me that that church is just out to take your money and you know, make you all depressed if you live an alternative lifestyle. The hypocritical convenience. I mean, people stop believing in God. They stop going to church when Jerry Falwell Jr., Carl Lentz, and Ravi Zacharias failed morally. But they didn't cancel their Netflix subscriptions when Cuties came out. When Disney started promoting anti-family values, they didn't cancel their Disney Plus subscriptions. And they didn't stop, you know, buying Disney merchandise. And they didn't stop watching Hollywood when Harvey Weinstein got found out a couple years ago. I mean, they canceled Christianity because of those guys. But look at, I'm against sin in general, but let's have a universal standard if we will. Let's not be hypocrites. Cancel your Hollywood subscription if you will, because Harvey Weinstein and Roman Polanski and Jimmy Savile, they're a bunch of disgusting pedophiles. But people canceled Jesus immediately when they found out that Ravi Zacharias got found out. People live for God only when it's convenient. I mean, I wonder how many people will still be Christian here in the state now that the orange man's not the president anymore and now that the Republicans are not in control of anything in the House or the Senate. The reason why Christ does not want you and me to proclaim him in our terms is because we're going to use him for our motives. Now, the world accuses us of being a hypocrite. Well, it's time for us to start confessing that then. Because they never accuse us of being drunkards. They never accuse us of being thieves. Well, sometimes they do. They never accused us of being too righteous, but they did accuse us of being hypocrites. Maybe that's a sin we need to confess the most. I think it was Dean Miller from Idaho who said this, God did not save you to deliver you from the trials, letter B, but to deliver you in the trials. Christ is a God so loving that when there's a storm, he's with you in the boat and will calm the storm when he sees fit. Before he will be the biblical Christ for the world, he must be the biblical Christ for you and me. I'm all in favor of conservatism and a Christian government. But before we can slink into sleepy spiritual mediocrity and putting ourselves into spiritual neutral simply because the law is going our way and the government has assured us of our Christianity, we must accept Christ for who he really is, the Christ of an inconvenient time. Did you know there's never a convenient time for us to do the right thing? Did you know that? There's never a good time to repent of your sins. There's never a good time to get saved. When God wanted me to go to Bible college, I was halfway through my 2 or 4 years at Cal State Hayward, East Bay. When God called me to preach, I was a 13-year-old boy in a stinky, nasty old shared space church building with an orange carpet. In fact, every room had a different color carpet because I guess the church didn't have enough money to get nice carpet tile like this, broad brush for the whole church. And yet God used a Romanian missionary who could hardly speak any English, and God called me to preach that night. I can't explain it. There's never a convenient time to do the right thing. It was not a convenient time for me to go to Bible college because the economy was awful at that time. It's not a convenient time to pass out tracts and go door to door and just leave tracts on the door because people say, well, we're going to get COVID. Brother, I'm not saying be reckless, but I am saying this, let's be bold. I'm not saying, you know, live in fear, but I am saying use caution. Okay, we're not supposed to frustrate the grace of God, beloved. And every time that the Holy Spirit's moving upon our hearts to say, hey, share this gospel video and tell them how to be saved, and we don't, we're frustrating the grace of God. There's never a good time to do the right thing, so you might as well just do it now as soon as the Lord lays it upon your heart. People want to worship a Christ, but not the Christ who calls us Satan when we try to make our own keys instead of letting him build his own church. They want to worship a Christ, but not the Christ who tells us the things we don't want to hear. You may have noticed that I didn't list soul winning as one of the keys, even though I believe wholeheartedly in it. I'm all in favor of soul winning. Street preaching, tract passing, visitation, you name it. But it's going to be an uphill battle when the church and the Christian are not as clean as they should be. Soul winning, fulfilling the Great Commission, is an outflow of a clean church. Now, I don't know what are the sin problems in this church. It would be presumptuous of me to assume anything here because I'm not the pastor. I'm here as an extension of Pastor Haynes' ministry. But there's got to be a clean house before we can bring them to it. There's got to be clean hearts before we can share the gospel. I mean, look at all these dead liberal churches that don't believe the Bible. Nobody's going to them. They don't have the truth. None of their members are clean. I mean, the Episcopalian Church and the United Methodists have been, and the Presbyterian Church of the USA, they've been losing members steadily for decades. Why? Because they don't believe the book. They don't preach against sin. Why would you want to bring people to something when I can live in my sin and not have to believe in God? Why would I have to go to church for that? I mean, atheists are smarter than that. Come on. The unfortunate reality, beloved, is that we're not as clean as we ought to be, even though we have the truth. I believe that the doctrinal statement of this church and the Constitution and bylaws might line up, 100% with Heritage Baptist Church. But are we clean in our hearts and in our thought lives like the way we ought to be? Brother Justin, you don't understand. People are liberal. They don't want to hear the message. I get that. But Isaiah 6 still says, preach until there's nobody left. When the Holy Spirit moves you, don't hold back. D.L. Moody once said, I was all the time carrying water. Now I have a river that carries me. Our little bucket of Jesus is not going to be enough in a dehydrated world. We need the rock to gush forth the river to quench our thirst and save their souls. We're going to need a greater source, Christ, our keeper of the keys. The Son of the living God who builds his church his way with his keys. Shadow Mountain Baptist Church, I want to invite you with a proposition. Don't just carry water. Let the water carry you. Don't just sit in church. Bring Christ with you everywhere you go. Let him be your keeper of the keys. There's opportunities out there that God wants to put into our hands if we will be sensitive to his leading of the Holy Ghost. Let him have his way with thee. Let him build his church and be part of the building process. And let him use the keys, beloved, as he sees fit. Who is the person that you need to call and tell about Christ? Who is the brother or sister in this church or outside that you need to make right with? Who is the person? What is the truth from the Bible, the next truth that God wants to show you? What is the next prayer that God wants you to pray where Christ will give you a key that unlocks the opportunities of the kingdom? Shall we all stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed during this invitation time? It was clear to me when the Lord had laid this message upon my heart, what He wanted from me. But maybe the Lord has a slightly different way of how He wants to use it. Let's go and have the piano play. If the Lord has moved upon your heart for whatever reason, for repentance, for an opportunity that you need to surrender unto God, give you empowerment, altar's open, beloved. We know how to come to the altar. We know how to pray. We know how to kneel where you're at. Come to the altar.